Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the South Bay Show, Manhattan Beach 360, on June 8th, 2018. Live, love, laugh, and leave a legacy. That's what we do here in the South Bay of Los Angeles, and it's a really beautiful place to do just that.
The South Bay Show is brought to you by the Manhattan Beach Chamber of Commerce. The Manhattan Beach Chamber of Commerce has been serving the city of Manhattan Beach for over 60 years, and they are dedicated to promoting a strong local economy by supporting the community, providing valuable business connections, and representing business with government. The Chamber staff is focused on providing its membership with the tools and resources to help businesses grow and thrive within the community. Their goal is to continually support the individual efforts of business as they work to support the growth of the local economy. For more information on how the Manhattan Beach Chamber of Commerce is working with member businesses and the City of Manhattan Beach to support that growth, visit the website at manhattanbeachchamber.com or call 310-545-5313.
I'm your host, Joe Terry, and you can read all about our many adventures on Facebook at facebook.com/The South Bay Show. Persistence, passion, principle, and purpose. That's what we talk about here on The South Bay Show. And of course, joining us today as co-host, the president and CEO of the Manhattan Beach Chamber and co-producer, Mr. Mark Lips. And of course, with us because of our great partnership with South Bay by Jackie.com, and executive producer of the South Bay Show, Jackie Balestra. Hey, Jackie, Mark, how are you guys doing today?
Good morning.
I am inconsolable. I am inconsolable this morning.
Oh, yes, me too.
Oh,
you first,
I am
Jackie.
Too. What? Why am I inconsolable?
Well, first of all, earlier this week, Kate Spade. Great.
Oh,
talent.
My gosh.
I just pulled out. I bought a bag of hers last spring for this spring. Beautiful Robin's Egg Blue. She was so talented. Such bright, beautiful, whimsical colors and shapes and designs. I don't understand how somebody could bring such happiness into the world and for her to enter life the way she did. And then this morning,
That threw me up.
Anthony Bourdain.
Unbelievable.
I adore him. I adore this man.
Unbelievable.
Talk about somebody that had a zest for life, an adventurer.
Right.
I loved his unique view of the world. I watched his show every week, and when I had nothing better to do, I would go back and watch them again because he was so talented and such a individual, just an original.
Right.
And I take it so personally when somebody like that takes their life because we're never going to get to experience them again. And it breaks my heart.
Unbelievable. Go back to Robin Williams and some athletes. We just don't know what's going on. They said with Kate Spade that she had manic depressive and refused to take medication. So that's an issue. Anthony Bourdain, I don't even know. I guess the news is still to know what the story was there. But in France, he was there doing some stuff, and it was in his hotel. I mean, you're going, holy cow. It just must come over you. The overwhelming, it must just overwhelm you to where you just can't control
it.
But
they both had a young child. They both had.
As a result of that, I read some other articles. You know, suicide prevention is a big thing right now because suicide is way up, apparently.
Yeah.
And
by
the way, in was it South Dakota or North Dakota, suicide is up 57%.
Yeah.
I mean, wow. Staggering numbers that we don't even see. We talk about the homeless, but I mean, we have so much I mean, unbelievable. I don't know if it's, you know, people just aren't being treated, or it's just the stress or the world itself or what's going on. But holy cow, to see where, you know, Kate Spade, but then Anthony Bourdain, and I'm going, wow, holy mackerel, you know.
I mean, these were real people with real talent, real, as I said, zest for life. I am so sad. I'm so sad about this.
I would like to have a zest for life, but it seems like the chamber just consumes me. I can't get my zest for life.
It sucks it
and
out of you.
It eats it out of
sucks the life, right? Sucks the zest right out of me, I'm telling you. And oh, my gosh. And then, so I have this routine in the morning, okay? I used to think it was the kids. Now I've discovered it's my wife who leaves the dirty dishes in, because their kids are out now. And I'm finding out that it's her shoes that are lying all over the place. It's the dirty dishes. Nothing's changed. And I'm going, oh, my gosh. I still have a kid. So I feed the dogs. I brush the dogs. I do the dishes. I do poop patrol outside and all that for the day. And anyway, the compost. So I take my compost stuff. And I go dump it in my compost out in the backyard. Well, I open up the lid, and it's a huge beehive in there.
Oh, no. Really?
And by the way, these bees, for those of us from the Midwest and elsewhere, these are small bees. I mentioned that to Susan. She goes, oh, yeah, Mark, it's great that you noticed that because, yeah, the GMOs have made the bees smaller. They're tiny bees now. They look almost like the size of sweat bees, but they're bees. And didn't bother me. I mean, they were around me and all that. And I think one followed me into the house and followed me out of the house. And I was showing. I said, "Tammy, you got to see this." But it was. She goes, "It's not unusual, but usually they're on the lid." I didn't look at the lid. I was looking at the bottom, and they were just all swarming on the bottom. But I called Susan Rudnicki, who is backyard beekeepers. That's who I was talking to when you called. And guess what? So this is something you want to do some spot news. Apparently she's going to do because it's pollination week or something with the bees. She is going to do a flash mob invasion of the city council meeting on June 19th.
Yes.
Do they know? I guess they know about it now.
Well, they may know about it, but the wild thing is that, well, so you know the story, right? It was in the Beach Reporter, Easy Reader, all of that, about she was rescuing bees and keeping them over at the public works yard, and the public works called her unceremoniously, of course, and left a message, voicemail, your business, or you cannot store bees here anymore. We're not going to help you. We're going to hire a place out of Whittier. And she knows that place, and they're just going to kill the bees. And I got to tell you, Joe knows this, the bees are so important to our ecosystem. I mean, so go the bees, so goes our agriculture and everything else. So.
I'm aware of that.
Bees.
So I want to have her on. I'd like to have her on the show.
Bees are an integral part of our ecosystem, not just for pollination. But most people don't know that bees interact with birds and bird nests and provide lots of different kinds of powerful influences in our environment that we scarcely understand. And just to ceremoniously spray poison throughout the air where it can waft into your neighbor's yard where there may be children or animals is just unconscionable. We have to stop this. We have to stop doing things like this before we understand the full ramifications of it. And
They already say the bees are dying off. They're getting sick. It's at a crisis level.
Yeah.
We just don't think of it. You know, they don't know.
It's not the bees.
Yeah, it's been critical for a while.
It's us. It's not the bees that are the problem. It's
no,
humans
of course
that are the problem.
Well, you know, that's why, who was it that said the other day, you know, we wouldn't have the environmental issues if it wasn't for humans.
Yeah.
You know,
true.
I mean,
true.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We're a thorn, a big, huge thorn in the side of a wound in the side of the earth.
I am so excited about our show today because the theme that, or the direction that I'm going at this show today is really, from my perspective, it's prevention and it is preparation. We all know, you know, we live in Southern California. Everybody knows that the big one will be coming someday. And it may be in our lifetimes, it may not, but the big one,
I heard it was
will
Saturday,
be coming
but...
some. Okay. And some people have, you know, a special line on when things are going to happen. But the bottom line is the big one will come, and we have to be prepared. We have to have ready stores of water. We have to have ready stores of food so that we can survive when, you know, services are not as they should be. Store shelves will be emptying, that kind of thing. What if we didn't have to worry about number one, water? What if we could generate electricity, if we had generators, we could produce our own water? What if? I think it's an earthquake kit necessity is the way I'm looking at it right now. Jackie, what do you think about that?
I think you're right. When I first read about our guest and what we're going to talk about this morning, this is something that could literally change the world. I was thinking in terms of third world countries where they don't have clean water sources or wells, or, you know, they have to walk 5 miles to a river to get water. That's where my mind automatically went. But you make a very, very good point about, you know,
preparedness. Yeah. Well, if you're going to think of this as potentially a part of your earthquake preparedness, then it, even if it's a little more expensive than some other solutions for water, great investment, because when there is a need for fresh water, you can not only provide fresh water for your family, but you may be able to provide fresh water for an extended family, your neighbors, your immediate neighbors. This could really secure an entire neighborhood. It's unbelievable. So, Jackie,
what? But
Mark,
how would we do that?
Well, let's find out. Jackie, Mark, who's our guest today?
Our guest this morning is Daniel Quisenberry, president and co-founder of AquaViable Solutions Inc. Now, AquaViable is dedicated to giving people the power to make the purest drinking water on Earth on their own, without plastic bottles, ports, or pipes. Danny is an intellectual property attorney and businessman. He's been involved for decades in water and energy uses through legal, philanthropic, and business projects. Providing access to truly healthy and independent water is the perfect target for his philosophies of health and self-sufficiency and his desire to help the South Bay and the world do things better. He is a longtime member of Rotary International and past Rotary Club president. He is very active in the Manhattan Beach Chamber and is on the Economic Development Committee for the Redondo Beach Chamber. Danny is a UC guy, graduating summa cum laude from UC San Diego and from the UCLA School of Law. He's an avid surfer and competed in the sport up through his undergrad years. Now he just has fun with it all over the South Bay and the world. Now this morning, we're going to learn about AquaViable technology and how it can literally change the world. Welcome to the program, Danny. We're so glad you could join us this morning.
Yeah, hi, guys. Glad to be here.
Well,
Danny, are you
thank
on
you
a
for
cell?
Joining us.
Yes, can you hear me?
Well, can you? Are you on speaker?
Here. Can you hear me now?
Better, much
That's
better.
That's much better.
Okay.
Yes.
Good.
Thank you.
Okay, yeah, glad to be here, guys. Sorry for the little sound problem.
No, well, Danny, look, this is
pour
can
some water
only solve
on.
So many problems at once, and I am so well struck by what AquaViable can do for not just the – there's a water bottle problem, as you well know, that we throw away enormous quantities of plastic bottles And there are so many solutions that are out there, people using reusable bottles, stainless steel bottles. There's, of course, bottled water that is being delivered to people's homes and businesses instead of bottles and bottled water. But beyond the bottled water, we live in Southern California, Danny, and one of the things that everyone should be cognizant of is that we have to be prepared for the big one, for an earthquake, for a reduction in services available, the emptying of the store shelves for a while. Even if your home isn't destroyed, you're gonna find it very difficult to get food and water for a period of time. And water is the key. I mean, we can go without, what do they say? We can go with the 555. We can go without air for 5 minutes. We can go without water for maybe 5 days. We can go without food for five weeks.
I think it's rule of three. I think it's 3 minutes, 3 days, 3 weeks. I think it's three.
Okay. But water is the key. Water, right? 3 days, 5 days. Water is the key. Mm-hmm. We got to keep that water flowing. And Danny, this is the solution.
Yeah, it is. And that's why we call it aquaviable solutions. But even more importantly, I mean, there always is the gloom and doom and say, oh, what if a disaster happens? And that's really important. And that's on people's minds when a disaster happens. Before that, nobody thinks about it. But really what aquaviable does is, if you think about the way people get water now, even in the South Bay, right now, right this second, the infrastructure that is the monster infrastructure that gets the water into your tap is quite extensive, and it costs a lot of money, costs a lot of electricity. A lot of times we get questions about, well, how much electricity does your system use? Our system for the home unit is a little box. It uses 1 kilowatt of power for a whole gallon of water, and it produces 5 gallons a day. So enough for any family, if everybody's drinking a gallon a day, which is 8 glasses, which is what is recommended, eight regular size little small glasses, then that's enough for 5 people. But that it produces that every day, so it also stores water. So in the system as well, and by the way, this is scalable. So we have machines as big as a small school bus that can do 900 gallons a day. And the key to this is the purity. And really what you have to talk about is the way that people get water now, by the time it gets to your glass, you got to think about what that water has been through. And if anybody knows about aqueducts and pipes and treatment systems and chlorine and fluoride, what you're getting right now in your glass is not really what you think it is. And what we try to do is say, hey, you can have your own, basically your own cloud, because what we do is condense water the same way that a cloud does. So you have a cloud in your house that produces your own water. Stick your straw into a cloud. Get it pure. It hasn't touched the ground. It hasn't touched a pipe. It hasn't touched plastic. It hasn't been in a port. It hasn't come from Fiji. It hasn't come from, you know, Sweden, Voss water and that sort of thing. It's right there, and right. It's yours.
Right, right. The idea that we ship water halfway around the world, Fiji or Canada or take your pick, a country where the water is supposedly pure and, you know, full of healthful minerals, which is probably true, and then you ship it halfway around the world, by the time it gets there, the carbon footprint of that water is off. It's off the scale. The carbon footprint of that water, you know, what it's doing to our environment is off the scale. So water is the key. I'll have to tell you also that, you know, when people think about, you know, tough environments and an earthquake in Southern California obviously would be a very tough environment, but there's no tougher environment than war. And in war, for instance, in the Iraq conflict, one of the, you know, two of the most important and most difficult, most expensive items to transport, the things that took the most money, believe it or not, were not munitions, and they weren't human beings. It was water and fuel. Water and fuel took the lion's share of all resources, $1 trillion or whatever it was, in the Iraq conflict. It was water and fuel. Liquids took the lion's share of the resources. So, Danny, we could not be happier to have you on the show, because what a huge problem Aqua Viable resolves in such a simple, easy to understand way. And of course, some people do have generators. Some people do have solar cells on their homes, which can be used to generate power during a crisis. So they're going to have, if they have Aqua Viable, they're going to have fresh water because they have the power, local power. That's that. They're good to go. They need to find food, obviously, but that can, you know, that can take a few days or a week or two or three. They can get by, but you can't get by for a couple weeks without water.
Yeah, you can't get by for actually, like Jackie said, 3 days.
3 days.
That's kind of the limit. And then the other thing is that, you know, we always say it's not just about scarcity. It's about purity. So if you talk about – everybody's used to the way that they've been doing water, even though water can be done differently. You know, what we're doing is we're – this is a paradigm shift. And we call it like the personal water revolution. You remember several years back there was a thing called the personal computer revolution, where instead mm-hmm. of having these big mainframe – instead of having huge mainframe computers that you go rent time on, people started getting them smaller and smaller. So now you have a computer in your phone, and they're getting smaller and smaller every time. And people have their own. They don't have to go rent time from a mainframe. Right now for water, we're renting time from big mainframes. And we're trying to get them, we're trusting them that the water that comes out at the end is the water you think you're getting. But how many people take out a little tester and actually test their water? So when you talk about people like to believe that the water coming from Fiji is pure. People like to believe that their water coming from Voss is added. The additives there are the best additives you can have, because every water that you're drinking that has to go through a long, long process has to have additives, has to have things taken out of it, put into it, is squeezed and pushed and pulled and transported. What Aqua Viable really solves is those problems. It's really not transported at all. It literally is not transported at all. It is made right in front of you. Yeah.
I have one question for you. Yes, I have one question for you. Can I buy stock in this?
Yeah. You know, that's a really good question.
Don't laugh.
Danny will sell you some stock. He'll sell you some stock.
Well, yeah. You know, right now, in a few months, or you know, we're working on some things that are going to need an influx of cash into the company. Right now, we haven't had to do that. We bootstrapped it, and we've been able to cover ourselves by sales. But the good point is that nobody knows about this. So our next step is really more of a, like what we're doing right now, getting people chattering about it, getting people to know that this exists, because the really biggest problem with Aqua Viable is not the system. The system is simple. The problem is education and awareness. And everybody presumes that the way that they've always been doing things, the non-personal water revolution, the non-personal water stuff, is the way you have to do it. It's not.
Well, let's address the pros and cons. First of all, let me put it out there that I have one. Danny has one here in the chamber office, and I love it. I'll tell you, first of all, just full disclosure, I brag about this thing. I show it to people. People are amazed. I mean, if this thing were on, if I had a solar panel, if this were hooked up to a place that was under solar, which don't get me started on that with the city, but we'd be totally off the grid. You know, so and so when people come in, they always have questions. And so I'll give you some of those questions. One question, one big question is, staff talks about this, actually. They say it takes moisture out of the air, so it dries my skin.
Yeah. You want me to take that one first? Okay. Yeah. So the machine that Mark actually has in the chamber is the small 5 gallon machine. It looks kind of like a water cooler, but it doesn't have any water hookup. There's no water going into it. There's no plastic bottles. It's just you plug it into the wall and it works. So And people say, okay, well, where's this getting their water? Their brain immediately goes to, well, if it's getting it from the humidity in the air or the water vapor in the air, it's got to dry things out. In reality, it doesn't dry anything out because it only takes the air from about 2 inches around the machine, 2 to 4 inches around the machine. And the machine actually has a reader on it. So the way we know that it doesn't really dry the air out is that we turn the machine on. It shows what the humidity is in the chamber offices there. It might say 60%, 62%, whatever that is. And you can just watch that. You can keep watching it for hours and hours if you want. You can watch it for days. You're going to see that that humidity does not go up and down. So that's actually really reading the humidity in the air. So people get confused because they say, wow, it's a really – they don't notice that it's a dry day. So a couple of months ago, we had some really dry days in a row. We had a Santa Ana or something that came through. And I think the humidity got down to almost 20% or a little below 20%, I think 19%. So people were calling me. They were calling me on the phone and say, oh, the machine is drying out there. The machine is drying out there. I'm saying, it's not the machine drying out there. It's the
nature.
Desert. Wow. Santa Ana winds. Right, nature is drying out the air. The machine is not doing anything. It's not doing anything to the humidity in the air.
Yeah. No. Did it make less water?
Did it make less water during during those days where the humidity was very low? Did it produce less water?
Yes. Yes. In fact, that is one of the things, and I'm glad that came up because humidity does affect it. So you need for the machine to be effective. It'll produce water at any humidity level almost. If there's any, I mean, if there's zero humidity, it will produce none. But really, to be effective, it has to have 28% humidity or more. We found. So 28% is kind of the minimum. Luckily, in the South Bay and most of the places in Southern California, anywhere close to the ocean, we average between 50 to sometimes 75, 80, over 80% humidity a lot of times in the summertime. So people will always think, oh, it's hot. It must be really, it must not work in the summertime. Actually, our machines love the summer. The summer is the good months. So sometimes in the winter, when we get those really dry, we got that really dry phase. I think that was either January or February.
Yeah.
And that's the time that it can dip down, but it's very rare. I think this year, that happened for 6 days. That was 6 days in 1 year where in the South Bay, it went down below the humidity level that it would be effective.
Now, Danny,
We all got questions.
I'm sorry. Yeah, we all got questions.
Here's the thing. If we get down to 30%, and he will tell you, when it gets to 30%, just turn the machine off. I've not seen it get to that. That was maybe a couple of days. And I have not seen it there since. And I look at the humidity, and it's always like yesterday was at 60% on the machine. And I think no one has drier skin than me. I mean, it's a disease with me. I mean, when I grew up, my fingers would split open. If I go to the beach and I don't have socks on or something like that, if there are certain times where at the beach, if I'm, my heels will split. I mean, I have super, super dry skin. I don't feel it at all.
Yeah.
So I think some of that is psychosomatic.
Yeah, I think Danny's answered the question about the machine drying out the air. That's not an issue. But the key issue is that I wanted to find out, Danny, is do you talk about the origin of this technology? I mean, I've heard of various kinds of technology like this, but I'd like to hear it from you. Where did this technology come from?
Well, you'd have to sign an NDA for that. I'm just kidding.
Uh-huh.
To a certain extent, some of it you would. You literally would have to sign some papers because a lot of these things are trade secrets. For the most part, if you think about it, this has been going on. People have been studying this, effectively so that they're actually getting machines that can run for about 12 years. And basically somebody saw that if you ever had a dehumidifier or you've had a refrigerator that is leaking in the back, that's basically producing water the same way that we do. The big difference is that we keep it in a stainless steel environment where the water is produced. So if you think about it, it's really like a cold glass of water with ice in it. You've seen it dripping on the outside, and that's why people, your mom might say, use the coaster. So what we do is we cool down elements enough to attract that water so that the water vapor condenses into actual H2O. And what we do, we've studied that enough to know what the ultimate temperature is, what the dew point is, what we have to do to get that to maximize the production, because refrigerators, of course, and dehumidifiers are trying to limit the production of that water. That's a problem for them. For us, that's what we're looking for. So we've done a lot of things to maximize that.
I'm thinking of the movie The Martian, where he put up the plastic sheeting around the dirt where he planted his potatoes, and it created it condensated. Yeah, this is amazing.
Yeah.
Now.
Yeah, you can condense.
So
you can condense. Go ahead.
Well, my question was, so would this work in super arid places like the desert, like Iraq, you know, war torn areas in the Middle East and stuff? It wouldn't be outside. If you have some sort of a shelter or something, you would probably have more humidity in there than the outside. But would this type of machine work in that environment?
Yeah, to a certain extent. What we do is anytime we sell a machine that's outside of the coastal eddy area, we always look at the humidity charts and make sure it's going to work. But, and we get surprised sometimes, like Palm Springs, you would think Palm Springs, no way it's going to work. Well, certain times of the day, maybe in the middle of the night, early in the morning, it gets very humid. But for the most part, you would say, you know, we don't try to sell machines in the desert. That's not really what we're what we're trying to do. And you can actually, by the way, use these machines as a filter system. It has a high-level filter system like you would put in your house under your sink. That's also we overkill on the purity, because that's what we're all about, is the purity. So some people have said, well, I just want to use it and hook it up to my tap so it purifies my water better than my other systems are. And I say, really, you know, you can get other systems to do that and that sort of thing. But the short question is, you know, a lot of times, and this it is a very good question, but they always say, people ask me, they say, well, does it work in the Sahara Desert? And my answer to them, and it's a little sassy, but I always say, do you live in the Sahara Desert?
Good point. Good point.
Well, we may be.
Danny, where I first ran across this technology, Danny, was with the Israeli Army. The Israeli Army has been developing this kind of technology for some time because of what I spoke about, where the vast majority of the resources in the Iraqi conflict were to transport liquids, water and gas, water and fuel. So instead of doing that and instead of spending those resources, they've been looking at these technologies for some time, and they have solutions that are quite effective. But for us as consumers here in the U.S., this is something that's really brand spanking new. There's nothing like this. It's a beautiful machine. If anyone wants to see it, you can go to the Manhattan Beach Chamber offices anytime that the Manhattan Beach Chamber offices are open. And you can taste the water, you can touch the machine, you can ask Mark questions, all of those kinds of things.
Yeah. We invite everybody to see them. And also, there is one, well, it's not where the public can see it, but there's one in the Manhattan Beach, the city hall as well. But it's really for the workers. And it's in a lounge right now that they're using. What we're trying to do is, that's very important, is we got to get machines around the South Bay. So if anybody has a prominent place around the South Bay they'd like to display a machine, we'd be happy to maybe loan them one for a couple of weeks. They can check it out and they can try it out themselves. And because the proof is in the use of it. So a lot, because it's just an idea, even when people are hearing it say, oh, that's a great idea, you don't really get it until you have one in front of you and you're drinking it. And then you really
spending, I don't know, but we were having water delivered every as quick as we could drink it. You know, we had the old proverbial water tank and the big bottles, and tip them over and put it in there, and that's how we were getting our water. We got rid of that service. And
now, Mark,
so
what would you estimate?
The money saved from that goes right
to
the bottom line.
Well, money saved, and this is, we're going to get to the bottom line economics of this, but obviously this is going to be more expensive than a holder for a bottle of water, but the service that you use to fill that holder of a bottle of water is enormously expensive. Most people don't realize it can be as much as $150 a month to have water delivered, especially for an office where lots of people are drinking water and you've got, you know, 3, 4, 5 bottles of water being delivered a week or something like that. That can be very expensive for an office. Can you talk about the economics versus delivered water, Danny?
Yeah. It's always a very important question. And really, we always talk about that. It's purity and economics is the two things that we hit on. The machine to make a gallon of water, as I said before, is 1 kilowatt. So you can take out your water bill and you can just look at it and see how much the local facilities are charging you for 1 kilowatt. It'll have it there. You can do that calculation yourself. We find that in the South Bay, it's about 17 cents a kilowatt hour. They can go up or go down, sometimes 23 cents. But even if you do use it at the highest, at 23 cents per kilowatt hour, you're getting a gallon of water for 23 cents. That's what it comes out to. So also, you also have to think about the infrastructure that goes into delivery and the treatment of that water, because the treatment of the water that you're getting in bottle delivery service is usually a municipal source of water. They're getting it from the same pipes you do, very similar, and they're putting it through a couple of filters, and then they're putting it in bottles, and they're driving it around town on the trucks, and they're moving it all over the place. The infrastructure to do that, as when you talk about the environment, when you're talking about the big picture of the world, look at all the energy and resources that is used for that. Look at all the truck and the fumes and this and that and the other thing.
Well,
in this case, you just put your glass up against the spigot, you push the button, and boom, you got water.
That's one of the issues they found out, for instance, with Africa, when they've had, you know, through their drought problems in the old days, or in the beginning, it was, you know, the humanitarian efforts would load tons of water bottles filled with water onto the planes, and they realized, holy cow, that becomes a very expensive bottle of water now. You know, I mean, and so that's why they then began to dig wells and do other things in Africa to get that water, because it's just too expensive to ship water. It's too expensive to deliver water, and they're finding it out firsthand. So they're digging wells and doing things like that. So I think I tell Danny all the time, I said, I don't know why everybody doesn't have one of these. I mean, they can work out a payment plan. Eventually you're going to have it paid off just like a solar panel. And now you're saving money, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So Danny, I'm going to find out what that payment plan
and then if you were to think in terms of the doomsday scenario, let me tell you, you better buy a shotgun, because you're going to be the only guy with water.
Yeah. Actually, you know, it's so funny. That, are you guys familiar with the comedian Louis Black?
Oh, I love Louis Black.
Yeah, I adore Louis Black. He's, he did a skit years ago on water and what it's become, and it was hysterical. But basically, you know, as kids, we used to literally drink out of the garden hose. You know,
yep.
I mean, when we were growing up, there was no bottled water. You know, we drank it straight from the sink or the garden hose, and this whole industry cropped up that's killing the environment. You know, I mean, killing the environment. This is world environment changing to have something like this. But my mind. Danny, as my mind goes, the way I think is, because I looked on the website and you have these compact little units for offices and homes and stuff, but you also have, as you mentioned, units the size of a school bus. And I'm thinking, what about the evil cobble that's going to create these giant units, and they're going to suck all the water out of the air and you know, that's just where my mind goes.
Yeah. Now, I mean, with something new, your mind, you know, humans are like that. Humans are very much like that, right? There's something new comes out, and you say, oh, there's got to be a problem with it. There's got to be a problem. But this is the important thing, that people don't realize how many tens of billions of of gallons of water, the Earth is evaporating at all times. We have charts that show this kind of stuff. And if you go on the website or if you ask me about it, I can show you. The water that hits the ground, of course, is – and the amount of pure water in the world that we can drink is minuscule. It's like, you know, 1 or 2% of all the water. Most of it is salt water. Most of it is contaminated water. We already know it's contaminated. The water that hits the ground, we always say – we always call it groundwater versus air water, because groundwater, as soon as any water drop hits the ground, as according to us at AquaViable, and in truth, it is contaminated per se – just by itself. If it hits the ground, it's hit something. It's hit something you shouldn't be drinking most of the time. There are some times that you get lucky, it hits some mineral areas, and then you call that mineral water. But really, the whole point of the thing is the purity level of when you talk about the water hose. You know, I wanted to go in on that. I drink from the water hose too. I'm not a water snob. If I'm at a restaurant, I drink whatever water they're serving. They say, do you want bottled water or tap? A lot of times I'll take the tap. But the question is this. It's kind of like smoking. Over years and years of drinking water that's not pure, which we know, all of us in the back of our head, we know there's impurities in our water, right? If you're not getting it the way that we get it at AquaViable, we know that. So we know that when you drink that water, it doesn't kill you as soon as you drink it, you know. Most of the time, it doesn't make you sick. You know, if you're in certain countries, it might. But that's really not the point. Even the water you're drinking in the South Bay, even though we say this is great water, it tastes good, this, that, the other thing, when we measure the impurities in that water, they're quite high. I don't want to go into great detail on that because I don't want to hurt any governments or officials or water districts' feelings. But they're quite high. They're not going to kill you. But you have to think about, it's kind of like smoking. Smoking, you smoke a cigarette, doesn't kill you. But over decades and decades of smoking, we've found, I think most people agree, smoking is not that good for you. Same thing with water. You know, you're drinking decades and decades of water that has stuff in it that you know probably isn't good for you. What effect does that really have on your health?
Well, I was talking with Dana Murray, environmental director at the city yesterday. I had a nice long chat with her, which was fun. But she was talking about, she used to work for Heal the Bay, and she started talking about, you know, Santa Monica and all the water levels that get tested all up along the coast and all that. And let me tell you, you almost want to go, okay, I'm not getting in any of that water again. Cause she said, it's not the, you know, you'll see trash or see something like that, but you don't see the stuff that will kill you. It's it's the bacteria that lands in this ocean here that is it's just a, she goes 2 days, by the way, after a big rain or something like that, you know, and servers say, you know, and you know this, Danny, you're not going to go in the water or whatever. She says, man, after some of those big rains, I would wait over a week before I went in that water. She said it's just really terrible, but and this whole stormwater draining into the ocean is just, it's really tearing us up. And by the way, now tell me if I'm wrong. From what I understand, there's a finite amount of water. So when you talk about, Jackie, when you talk about drying out the air, I mean, I think Danny's right. Logistically, we're getting the water before it becomes contaminated. Now, there may be contaminants in the air, but not as much as when you drag that and add to it whatever it's going through or traveling through or on the ground or whatever. But all you're doing is pulling water out of the air that is going to be replaced. It's just recycled. It's just recycled water throughout the earth. I mean, this is the same water. They say this is the same water that the dinosaurs were drinking. What we're drinking is just recycled, just constantly recycled.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, that's the issue with this is really because, you know, what's going on here is water vapor is invisible. So people, you know, naturally it's easier to see, okay, a puddle of water, ooh, I can drink that. You know, it's easier to think it's what you think when you're a kid, right? Mm-hmm. But the thing is that the water vapor is invisible. What you really have to picture is it's a constant stream. It's like an ocean of water always going up. It's evaporating constantly. It's part of the water natural water cycle of the earth.
Look at the water cycles. So, you see them in any science class.
Right. So you're just taking a glass out of an ocean, almost, is a way that you could look at it. So
right.
To think that even if you build a big machine, then you're taking a bigger glass, but you're still taking it out of an ocean of
right.
water
right.
that's constantly
yeah.
evaporating.
Yeah, that image from the science book, I can see it right now, Mark.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
the water,
yep.
the moisture evaporates, it goes up into the clouds move over here, dumps rain
mm-hmm.
on the ground, it filters through the earth, and then
yep.
it comes back up, and it's just one big cycle. I can see the
right.
illustration from my grade school.
That's why they
class.
Say it's the same water that dinosaurs were drinking.
Right.
And by
right.
the way,
right.
I drink out of a hose too, but Danny, I drew the line
yeah.
at water at muddy puddles. I didn't drink out of the muddy puddles.
Yeah,
yeah.
I didn't do muddy puddles.
So now
I didn't do muddy puddles.
Jackie, I know we want to do a station break, and then after
little,
the station break,
it's,
Danny.
It's a little late for that.
It's
or
a little late.
You could
for
do
that.
It. Just,
okay.
You could do it. Just don't give out the number because I don't want to deal with
okay,
phone calls.
Okay. No.
So.
No. Well, right. ladies right. and gentlemen, you're listening to the South Bay Show, and we're talking about one of the most innovative and important subjects that you could talk about, and that's fresh water. There's so many aspects to this debate, this conversation. I love the aspect, especially when we're talking about aquaviable.com. Just remember that, aquaviable.com. When we're talking about these units that can be installed in your home, I think a great part of the conversation is just earthquake security, earthquake preparedness. We've all been talking about it. This is a key part, water sources. And so this would make your home, as long as you have a generator or other source of energy, your home would be water safe. In an earthquake, your home would be completely water safe, and that's a wonderful thing. But you're listening to the South Bay Show. We're talking about AquaViable with Danny Quisenberry, and we're going to talk more about it. And also, Danny, I'd like you to answer the question. I know there's a lot of issues, but just give me some dollars and cents. One cost versus another. I want some numbers.
Okay. You want those right now?
Okay. Yeah, I'd like numbers.
Yeah,
numbers.
Okay,
Mark,
I thought we were doing a station break or something.
Well, we
okay,
did
so
it.
You
now,
want numbers
now
of
we're going to do numbers. Mark, don't interrupt him.
You want numbers of how much it costs? We already went over the numbers of how much it costs to produce a gallon of water. That was 1 kilowatt
yes.
per gallon.
Yes.
Now you're asking more about what's the cost of the machine is what you want?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. So the cost of machine is these machines retail for $2,500. They make 5 gallons a day, and they last for – we don't even know how long they last. They last for 20 to 30 years like a refrigerator does. Basically, it has similar parts as a refrigerator. So as Mark said, that if you calculate how much you're spending on – really what we compete with is the high-level premium bottled waters. That's our direct competition because – the people who are drinking tap water, those people probably eventually will start trying to find some other source of water. But right now they're happy with tap water. And so we don't really compete with straight tap water. Straight tap mm-hmm. water is very inexpensive. It's probably pennies. I think that it's probably like maybe 22 cents a gallon or something like that. Is that on the high end?
Yeah.
And then they can even go down from that. So we don't compete with that. We'll never, I don't think that a type of premium water will ever compete with straight tap water. Although tap, they have all these graphs showing the price of water going up and there's always a new treatment and desal makes it go up and that sort of thing. But mm-hmm. if you talk about how much people spend, the bottled water that we compete with is a $15 billion industry. That's with a B.
Right.
Okay. So,
right.
The people that we really compete with are the people that are trying to get you to buy as many bottles as you can, as fast as you can buy them. And a lot of people like to buy those. They like feeling like they're getting a high premium water, and they really don't know because we always like to say that any water that you're getting that you're not making yourself right in front of you is mystery water because you really don't know what's
right.
in that. You're not testing it. You're trusting it. So there's a difference between testing and trusting. So we, on that end, we are many, many, many times. You talk about 17 cents a gallon. If you amortize it over,
right.
Let's say, 3 years, by the time that you've paid off a machine or something like that, then we're talking about maybe with the price of the machine and everything, you're probably talking about maybe 60 cents a gallon. You know, if a machine lasts 10 years, which it definitely will, I haven't had a refrigerator myself that lasted less than 10 years, then the price goes down. It keeps going down, 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 as long as you have the machine. And the machine pays for itself. We've estimated it pays for itself in about 19 months. So if you bought it straight out, you're drinking water, you're drinking as much water as people normally do, the machine pays for itself in about 19 months.
All right. Okay, I got a question. I got a question. Somebody mentioned earlier, it's like an investment, like a solar panel. Speaking of solar panels, I would imagine at some point, Danny, that you guys are going to be able to install a little solar panel on the unit at some, something like that.
Well, it'd have to be outside, though.
Well, no, couldn't it be like by a window or something like that, where light could hit it? Something couldn't.
I don't know.
I gotta imagine, because they're putting solar panels on backpacks where you can charge your phone. I mean, mini solar panels are becoming ubiquitous. I gotta imagine at some point that you could do.
Yeah, I think it's a good question. Now you could probably do that. In fact, you could if you wanted to put it outside and put a little solar shed over it or something like that. But what we usually try to do is we like to be plug and play. So we like to say, here's your machine, plug it in, boom, you got water. Make it real simple.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, we don't do construction. We don't. Go ahead.
So 50% of the, the latest stat was 50% of California now is running off of solar.
Really?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And not only that.
Wait.
They just passed a law that all new building, all new homes have to have some kind of solar capacity, and it's quite a high solar capacity. So if you think about it, these homes with solar, and we have affiliates that we can hook anybody up with that do solar. They recommend our water, and we recommend their solar because then you're fully encapsulated. They can put the solar on the whole house, you still have a regular plug outlet that you just take our machine and you plug it right in. So you don't have to deal with all that. We don't get involved in that. We have our affiliates do it, and people can be all set up. They can call us. They can call the affiliates.
Right.
Either way, we'll get them all set up.
Mark, tell me that number again. Of homes, 50% of homes. So where did that come from?
50% of California now they're saying is getting their energy from alternative sources, which means primarily these days is solar.
Solar, wind. Wow.
Yeah. I mean, so it's amazing. Yeah, that stat came out about a month ago. Now, here's the interesting thing. We talk about, once again, Danny brought it up at the beginning. And by the way, I'm one of his biggest disciples on this thing. I love this machine. I don't want him to ever come and get this machine. I want this machine here. If I can send people his way.
Mark's pleading is the only reason we haven't picked it up yet. Mark pleads with me, every time I...
And so if I see Danny coming towards the building, I lock the doors, I turn the lights off, and I get a glass of water because I don't know how long I'm going to be in that corner. So the other thing, but listen, this was a very funny story. And it goes back to what Danny said in the beginning. I mean, we can think earthquakes. That's an extreme where this thing is going to be invaluable. All right. Like I said, you better have a shotgun because everybody's going to want to come over and get your water. I mean, you could in some places, I'm sure people would turn it into a business. Okay. And I got 5 gallons over here that it costs you $500. But we're always getting pitched. Businesses are always getting pitched by water companies, right? Sparklets or whatever, coming in, wanting to do your office water and all of that stuff. Well, I overheard Michelle, one of our staff, talking to a water guy who was calling and wanted to be our water vendor. And she says, we don't need it. We have water. She goes, well, who do you work with? And she goes, no, it's just made from the air. And he couldn't believe it. He said, oh, no, come on. That's crazy. Anyway, the guy drove over here and came inside.
Right.
And I walked out.
Because he thought she was lying.
Well, and I walked out. So I walked out and I watched him. He is like looking at the machine. He's looking behind it. He followed the cord to the wall. He's looking for a pipe, and it's like, I said, no, that's the water comes from the air. We don't need you. Thank you. And he goes, what do you pay for that? It's paid off. It doesn't cost us anything.
Well,
Yeah, that's a difference.
Well, no, no. Once you've, it's like you said, once you've amortized it, you're making money. It's like,
and I'm
sure there are lease payments you can do. I'm sure there's, you know, just like you can with solar and things like that. And you amortize it over time. I mean, geez. And I got to believe, too, as the technology improves, the prices come down. But, my gosh, I just, and to me, the water tastes great. You know,
water tastes great.
I'm just still curious why, you know, the environmentalists aren't all over this thing. Danny, what is it? Do environmentalists, are they negative about it? What's their take on it?
Maybe they don't even know about it yet.
That's a great question.
Because I would think you couldn't keep these things in stock. You know what I mean? It would just be flying off the shelves with every new home. That Beach Cities Health District would be promoting it. That, you know, South Bay Cog would be promoting it. That, you know, all these water places like that, you know, these environmental agencies would be just all over it.
Yeah, and that's the thing. The health agencies should be all over it. The cities really should be all over it because they could really produce – they could buy the license for this. We could put them in, and they would be providing the purest water possible. We're not trying to compete with them. We want to be conducive with them. So a lot of people say, this is disruptive technology. I say, no, it's not disruptive. It's very conducive. If they just use it, it's kind of like the Napster thing, you know, when – Napster came out and they were downloading music. I'm an intellectual property attorney, so I'm going to go off a little bit here. But Napster was allowing people to download music. All the record companies came to me and said, don't let them do this. Let's shut this down. They can't download music. It'll ruin the record companies. And my response to them was that, don't be afraid of it. Use it. Why can't you sell your stuff and allow people to download it right from their homes? Do it. Guess what happened 3 years later? I was interviewed in magazines and on news shows about this, and I was one of the voices in the wilderness saying, don't fight it, use it. Of course,
right.
2 or 3 years later, what happened? iTunes, boom. iTunes is making tons. How do people get their music now? They're downloading it. So I always say to these people, and to just direct to your point, the environmentalists are really taken aback and confused by it. You know, they don't know what to do with it. They've studied all this stuff for so many years about treatment plants and how you can, you know, make the dirtiest water in the world but clean enough to drink it, you know, toilet to tap type of stuff. And instead of thinking about, you know, where to get the water at the cleanest source possible, they haven't really thought about that a whole lot. And when you tell them about it, the first thing they say is, well, it uses electricity. And I would say it uses 1 kilowatt per gallon. If you look at what it takes to get a gallon of water the way we're doing it now, the aqueduct doesn't push water uphill without electric power. The treatment plants don't treat water without electric power. The desal plants don't treat water without electric power. They're all using power.
Yeah,
it's all trading power for water.
Danny, I think if you worked hard to get that metric, that would make the conversation much easier. If you just said it takes 1 kilowatt to produce water with AquaViable, and it takes 17 kilowatts. To produce water from Sparkless
through your tap,
that would
your
be
tap.
The end of the question.
Well,
but
even
if
it was that easy,
it goes beyond that. It's not just the 17 kilowatts. You're looking at just what Danny was saying earlier, the carbon footprint of delivering that 17 kilowatts, the trucks,
the pipes,
the gas used, the, you know, all of these things. I mean, holy cow, that's now becoming a very expensive bottle of water.
How do we?
What about the petroleum products? What about the petroleum products they use? They never calculate that in and say, oh, well, a bottle of water only costs this much to make. Yeah, and then you have the garbage, and you also have you had to produce the bottle itself. And to produce uses water.
And by the way,
an hour discussing a question without a proper station break, without a proper pause, because it's such an important question. Danny Quisenberry, AquaViable.com. What an important thing you are doing. What an important thing you are bringing to the conversation, and we're so thankful that you're doing it in the South Bay, in Southern California, Santa Barbara. We're just so glad that you're here, because it's just one more thing, Jackie and I always say, the best things in the world come from Southern California, and
as,
here we
as
are.
Goes as California, so goes the world.
It's amazing.
Yeah, that's true. And it's not
And I want to make sure, Danny, to give you an opportunity to give all of your contact information so that people can get in touch with AquaViable, AquaViable.com, and get in touch with you, Danny. And what are your needs? What are the things that you need, Danny, in terms of personnel, investment? What do you need to make AquaViable more viable?
Well, we need more disciples like Mark. That's one thing. We need word of mouth. You know, really the chatter is what I always say is our number one on our list is people talking about this, tasting it, doing it, telling their friends that they saw it, because that leads to people actually purchasing the machines. Of course, we need sales. We need to survive. But we need really people just to be getting the word out to each other. I mean, that's really how this works. Mm-hmm. This is really a social media type of target. When people, if they can go to aquaviable.com and share that site with other people, that does us a ton of good, because really what we're trying to do is get people to know that this exists. That's our first step in really even getting the governments and the cities and the things. And I want to say too, right here, the South Bay has been very supportive of AquaViable, and we appreciate the South Bay because they're open-minded. They're on the cutting edge. They're even the city of Manhattan Beach, the city, all the city governments in the South Bay have been interested in this. And actually they're open-minded enough to look at it because there's other areas in the world that we go, the other cities, and I'm not going to mention who they are, but they won't even open the door for us. They won't even think about it because they have their key players that are doing treatment, and treatment is huge money. Treatment. Mm-hmm. You're talking about 70, 100 million, hundreds of millions of dollars in treatment plants and treatments and traveling, making water travel. Those guys have all the cards really right now. So what we have to do is get the word out that this can be done in home, on location, in an office, on location, because talk about a local source of water. There's no more local source than the air in the South Bay. That's as local as you can get.
We love being disruptive on this show. We love it.
We do. We do. Fantastic. Danny, this is amazing what a revolution AquaViable can be across the nation. It's just amazing. It's not just in, you know, Southern California. We do live in a desert. We are water insecure when it comes to when the big one comes, earthquake country. We know that at some point when an earthquake happens, it's not the people that die from the initial destruction of property, minuscule compared to the number of people that will be superiorly depressed, distressed, and eventually will die because of the aftermath of not being able to get clean water, adequate amounts of food, and then, you know, the disruption and sort of
way to end on a high note, Joe. Way to end on a high note.
Thank you. Thank you, Mark. Thank you, Mark.
Yeah.
That's what
Be self-sufficient.
Yeah.
No, that, I got to tell you, anybody, if you have an office building and you're buying water, and I, Chamber, we don't have any water suppliers, I don't think, as vendors or as members. So, okay. Get rid of that water tank. I mean, that if you've got sparklets or anything like that, that's do the world a favor and get rid of that stuff. Go to aquaviable.com, and check it out, because I got to tell you, you will be amazed. And if you want to check it out, come to the chamber, because we got it right here, and I'm amazed every day.
All right.
What a show. Thank you very much,
everyone,
appreciate
you guys
for listening. Thank you, Danny, for joining us. Thank you for being available. Everyone, Mark, what's the address of the chamber offices?
425 15th Street at Valley and 15th. At Valley and 15th in Manhattan Beach, 425 15th Street.
During normal office hours, ladies and gentlemen, you can experience an AquaViable machine in person at 425 15th Street in the city of Manhattan Beach, California. It's just that simple. Do yourself a favor.
Well, you got to pay for the water. If you have a glass of water, I'm charging you.
Mark is selling his water now. Great. Okay. All right. We got to wrap it up.
It is the Chamber of Commerce, you know.
Yeah. Danny, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you. Thank you all.
Danny,
great.
I'll see you, buddy. I'll see you out there.
All right. All right. Bye.
Thank you, Mark. Thank you, Jackie. What a show. Amazing. We'll see you all next week. Have a wonderful weekend. Bye-bye.
Always a pleasure, Joe.
Oh, I'm going to kill you, Mark.